Go ahead and open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 again. We're still continuing on. I don't know how far back to go with this. Usually it's fairly easy for I can tell when the Holy Spirit is changing a subject in a teaching, you know, and so that's where those series come from, like the God of Hope and the Serving Son and the Golden Man. Well, I've been trying to start separating these, and I can't yet because they're all so interconnected. I mean, I thought for a little while, okay, we're going to have a series called, and we may, but I thought maybe we were coming to a place where I could gather, start putting together a series called A Place Called Done. But then he just started bringing out another aspect of it, showing me that the kingdom of God is at hand. And that still was dealing with A Place Called Done. And now he's talking about the mind of Christ. And I had no idea that Tim was, you know, going to follow that up with the, you know, I guess the mind of Christ part two. And it's still dealing with A Place Called Done, the reality of this invisible kingdom, how we're really supposed to operate and relate in between both worlds, the realm of the spirit, the realm of the material. And really, the bottom line is going to be, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth just as it is in heaven. Jesus came to restore the kingdom to man. Amen. Well, so we're talking about the mind of Christ again tonight. Some of the best information on it is here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm just going to go ahead and read this whole passage. It's not real long. I just want to get it in your mind. And then we'll look at a few things. And we'll just pick it up in verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 9. As it is written, and right here, by the way, you could write, what he's contrasting is the person that's not born again with the person who is. So you could put the natural eye, the regular eye, the physical eye that you have. As it is written, eye hath not seen, the natural ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. We're going to come back to that one in a minute. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man that which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received. Now he's talking about now that you've been born again. Remember, Paul was the one that brought the gospel to Corinth. He's the one that brought the gospel to these people. And now he's writing a letter to them. So he's saying now that we've been born again, we have received not the spirit of the world. And see that little s? He's talking about the human spirit that everybody's born with when they're born of their physical mother. You're born of that fallen nature of Adam, which here he's calling the spirit of the world. Now we've received not that spirit, but the spirit which is of God. And it's a little s again, and it should be. Because he's talking about the new nature. When you got born again, that old spirit of the world, that nature that was passed down generation from generation to generation in Adam, that selfish nature. The prophet Ezekiel, I think it was, prophesied about it. God says, I'm going to take out that old stony heart. And I'm going to put in a heart of flesh. Boy, that is exactly what happens. The old man dies, thank God. And God replaces it with the nature of his son. That comes in seed form. It doesn't come in full grown. We've taught on that too. But boy, we have received a spirit that's not of the world. It's a spirit which is of God. Let's say it this way. You become God's spiritual offspring. No longer is Adam your Adam. Jesus is the second man, the last Adam, and he becomes your father. You are one generation. Do you ever notice he doesn't have grandchildren? Everybody has to go to Jesus himself to get that life. You're first generation Christian. I don't care if your mama was a Christian and her mama and her mama and her mama, daddy, it's, you know, no. You are first generation. I could do a lot right there, but that's not the subject. So anyway, Well, why did all that need to happen? Well, there's a lot of reasons, but one of them he tells us about here, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which, this is, you could write out in the margin right there, inheritance. What do you get? He gave us this Spirit. He gave us this new nature so you'd be able to know the things that are freely given to you of God. It's your spiritual inheritance. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, please get this. But the natural man, the person that's not born again, the person that still has that spirit of Adam, the spirit of the world on the inside, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know, oh boy, get this. Neither can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned. You've got to have that born-again nature on the inside of you to receive the things that are truly your inheritance. That's why religion won't get it done. Joining a church won't get it done. Shaking the pastor's hand and faithful Sunday attendance won't get it done. You've got to come to the Lord Jesus and get a new nature on the inside of you. You've got to become a child of God to receive the inheritance of God. And religion will not get it done. Good works will not get it done. You say, well, I already know that. Yeah, you're going to know it better before tonight's over. Don't ask me how I know that either. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. You can't know them because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, all that means is born again. The King James says judges. In the margin it says discerns. He's able to discern all things. Yet he himself is discerned of no man. That's talking about the world is never going to understand you. They think you're crazy, and from their point of view, you are. One time, a cousin of mine, wasn't even a teenager yet, he was like 10 years old. It's a tragic accident many years ago. Sue and I hadn't been born again and spirit-filled very long at all. And we got a phone call from Shawnee that my cousin, he'd been riding on the back with his grandpa, actually, and the tractor flipped over backwards and killed the boy instantly. And I got a phone call, and they're just telling us. And I said, boy, we'll start praying right now. I'll start praying right now. In my mind, what do you think I'm praying? God raise him from the dead. In my mind. Now, the person on the other end of the line who will remain nameless, because it's a close, anyway, said, this happened 4 hours ago. He's been dead for 4 hours. My response, Lazarus was dead for 4 days. What do you mean? It's not too late. But to them, I'm talking foolishness. But my mind immediately thought this is... Don't you all think that's possible? See, what happens? What happens when you really get born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost? There's a whole new world opens up. What was impossible to the natural man doesn't govern you anymore. Suddenly there's a whole world. It's called this invisible kingdom. They call it the realm of the Spirit. Calls it the invisible universe. I don't know what to call it. It's where God lives. I mean, he lives in us. Don't write me no letters. You know what I mean. But it's that realm of the Spirit. And something happens. And suddenly you can believe it. It doesn't even seem weird to you. Seems easy. What do you mean God can't raise the dead? He's only been dead 4 hours. And they're going, he's been dead 4 hours. I'm going, yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's only been dead 4 hours. Yeah, but by now he's crusheth. So what? God's able to mend bones back together. God makes bones. Did you know that? Someday before my eyes and your eyes, if you stay here, was going to see somebody come in with no leg. And you're going to watch. As God puts a new bone, flesh, that person's going to leave here with a flesh and bone leg, and we're going to put that artificial one on the wall like a trophy. Like a bass. You know, the world catches bass and hangs them on the wall. We're going to put We're going to put artificial legs, artificial arms, crutches, canes, wheelchairs, stretchers, and clean bladder bottles. Hang them on the wall. People come in with them colostomy things, you know, them bags. We'll clean them up and hang them on the wall, glory to God, because they're going to have their kidneys back, or intestines, I think that is. They get their intestines back. God knows how to make intestines. God's a bone-making dude, he is. I'm telling you, he can make bones. He can make intestines. And it's to him, it's like, duh, it's like not hard. Now, so we already left the mind of the natural man. We're over in the mind of Christ now. And he's the one that says, if you can believe, yes, if you can believe, all things are possible. What we need... Yes, sir. We had a prophecy come on May 17th through this voice. And he says, many have come to this door. I have to read those. I heard it when you heard it, okay? I have to go back and study it myself. He says, many have come to this door. This door where we are. He's talking about revival. I know what he's... We're right at the door. And he said, it's not locked. It was. Remember Dave seeing those visions? Guess what? It's not locked anymore. And even it's a little bit ajar, he said. Many in history have come to this door. Primarily, he said, very few have entered. And then I was really stunned by what he said and said next. Primarily for a lack of knowledge. Of all things. Then he starts talking in that prophecy about the foundation. No wonder that the Holy Spirit for 30 years, if you'll allow me, that's maybe too long, has had Dave in those endless hours, praying the mysteries, praying the revelations. Because at this door is where people tend to get off in the ditch on the left. They get weird. They start thinking they're Elijah to come. They start seeing female angels show up and gold dust the crowd. And forgive me if that happens at your church, but you're just not going to find that in the Bible. Bark like a dog, cluck like a chicken, roar like a lion. They get off. And I'm beginning to understand now why God was so careful all these years to lay such a thick, wide, strong foundation of revelation knowledge. So that as we enter this door, we don't get off following some weird... I thank God for the miraculous, but I'm not going to follow the sensational. Everything that shows up and talks to you is not God. Human or inhuman. You know, did you know the devil? The Bible says the devil is able to transform himself into an angel of light. You know? Hello? I'm an angel. You are? Yeah. God sent me. What does he want me to do? He wants you to bring the anointing by barking like a dog. And he's waiting to see if you do it. And if you do that, he's got something else for you. 10 years down the road, you keep listening to that dude. Keep listening to that. 10 years down the road, he's got you leading a couple of hundred people down to Guyana. Oh, and there's the spectacular. There's sensational. There's stuff to see, all right. You know? He'll lead you off down there. Some start getting you think you're Elijah to come. You know? We are not going there. I mean, if I have to step... Thank God for the foundation. Thank God. And I'm not going to step off of it to walk through no door. The door... Well, either we're going to be able to go through this door and fully explore this room and never get off the foundation. You know what I mean by that? Everything that he's already taught us. Hallelujah. Well, we're talking about the mind of Christ. Well, get this first. Look at in this passage we're looking at here. Verse 9. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. And he's talking about the natural man here, before he's born again. The things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Combine that with verse 14, I'm going to make a statement then. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Now get this straight. Verse 16 now. He said all of that leading up to verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? You know all that praying you're doing, all that time you spend praying, quote, mysteries? You reckon Jesus is confused? You reckon those are mysteries to him? You reckon you're explaining stuff to him? Well, no, we're not instructing him. What's happening is we're receiving line upon line, precept upon precept, instructions from his mind. He's explaining mysteries to us. He told me one time, he says, I mean, this just seems so simple now, but one time praying at the Ugly Building, he just began interpretation. I began just interpreting. He said, you do know that the understanding, you do know that the anointing is no mystery to me. That's deep calleth unto deep. I thought about that for a minute. Yeah, okay, you're God. Okay, I reckon you understand everything about the anointing. I mean, okay. He says, I know it's so simple, but to me it was like, man, you know, okay, yeah, okay, I can understand that. The anointing is no mystery to you. And then he says, if you'll give my Spirit, if you'll allow my Spirit the time to teach you, he will make it no mystery to you. You'll become expert at the anointing, using it almost like a mechanic would reach for the appropriate wrench off the shelf. He'll diagnose a problem, says, oh, for this you use this, and for that you do this. He says it'll be almost like that in the realm of the Spirit. You'll see what the enemy has done. And with that same skill, you'll be able to apply the anointing that will set the captives free. Okay, I'm ready to go pray in tongues. You guys can do what you want. I've already prayed myself back into the closet. He said lack of knowledge is the reason most don't enter this room. He's been all these years laying a foundation of knowledge for us so that we can enter. Yes, sir. Don't forget this. This door where we're about to walk now, we're at it. He said that's where the hordes of the enemy camp. Why? Because at all costs, none must enter here. None must enter here. Because if we do, the end result is revival. The end result is revival. And once it starts, it's like a forest fire. It's hard to stop. Amen? Glory to God. Well, the first thing we've got to understand then, the mind of Christ, if the natural man can't receive it, get this, the mind of Christ thinks, this is deep, beyond the natural realm. Whew. I should do like Dave, get down on one knee, deep calleth unto deep. Man, this is heavy. In other words, what the world says is impossible, you're going to say is possible. Yes, sir. All right, now for example, go over that verse I know you've never read in your life. Go to Mark 11. I know you've never, none of you has ever heard this passage. This is new to you. If we're going to start thinking like Jesus, we're going to have to receive what he says as being truth. Even if it's right in the face of all of our earthly experience for nearly 60 years in my case. What Jesus says is the truth. He is the messenger of the covenant. Even Adam didn't come from heaven. He did. He's the only one that's been there. He's the only one that received this assignment from the Father. And what he says is truth. Father, I have given them thy word. Thy word is truth. You remember that in John 17? Well, what are some of these foundational, fundamental things? If we're going to start operating according to the mind of Christ, let's look at some of the things he says. Like, for example, this one. Number one, have faith in God. I think that's a good idea. Well, how do you do that? Well, he continues. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Just real quickly here. Now, just for a moment. If Adam in the garden, after Eve, before or after, if he would have opened his mouth and said, now the mountain in that case was the devil. He was the problem. And all Adam had to do was open his mouth and use the authority God had given him. And that devil would have been run out of the garden. And we wouldn't be in this mess. But how many forgive Adam? Jesus died for Adam. Hallelujah. One of the messages I did this last year, that the title of it was, You Stay Silent Too Much. We commit the same sin. The devil's come to mess up your garden. It's come to mess with you. Anyone ever had the devil mess with your stuff? Mess with your life? How often do we just, if we say anything at all, we don't take any authority and speak to the mountain. All we do is tell everybody else how bad it is. And all the bad stuff that's happening. But Jesus says, He says, have faith in God. How would I do that? You're going to need to start speaking. Boy, I wish Adam would have started speaking. I'm glad that, thank God, we had learned enough about faith. See how many of my daughters are here? Okay, some of them are here. When they were all in rebellion at the same time, thank God we had learned enough about faith to walk the floor and speak the word of God over them and call those things which be not as though they were. And we'd speak to the devil, say, devil, you're not taking any of our daughters to hell. We command you, take your hands off our daughters. All of our daughters are handmaidens of the Lord. They serve the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll prophesy, dream dreams. They lay hands on the sick and they recover. They speak with new tongues. Our daughters cast out devils. At that moment, where were they? In the bars. We could have been like most of the people we counsel. I'm sorry. We could have been. Oh, it's so bad. Let me tell you what my daughters are doing. They're doing this and they're doing that and I'm so worried. And, oh yeah, that'll change what is. All you're doing there is saying what is as though it is. And the trouble is, it already is. So all you're doing now is reinforcing what already is. There is no power to change things by calling things that are as though they are. They already are. You've got to speak to the mountain and then begin calling those things which be not as though they were. Our daughters? Our daughters are the handmaidens of the Lord. All three of them today work with us in the ministry. All three of them raising godly seed. All three of them serving God. Don't tell me this doesn't work. Spoke to that cancer when it tried to kill me back in 1990. Gave me 6 months to live. That's a long 6 months. It's 2006. Walked the floor and called my heart new for 2 years. Doctor said that it was incurable. What's impossible with man is possible with God. I walked the floor, called my heart normal. No, this is incurable. This is a genetic thing. Once you have it, you'll have it the rest of your life. There's nothing medical science can do. There's something God can do. I've got the mind of Christ. Don't tell me my God can't do something. Just what is it you're telling me my God can't do? Now, I had to pray and get His instructions because I tried to do it my way. My way didn't work at all. What do you mean your way? I heard somebody testify about how they got prayed for and threw away their medicine. Doesn't that sound good? I got prayed for, threw away my medicine. What happened? I nearly died. I didn't have any rhema from God. I didn't have any instructions from God. I was just going by formula. So I went in and asked Dave. I said, I don't understand. That guy got prayed for, threw away his medicine. He was healed. I got prayed for. And I got the power of God, too. Dave prayed for me. I was right about here. I went, zoom. My head was wound up underneath the front row of chairs there. Kablooey. So I thought, all right, that's it. So I threw away my heart medicine. 7 days later, nearly died. So I went in and talked to Dave. What's up?
What's up?
Anyway. So, what's up, Pastor? I don't understand. I nearly died. I don't know why y'all... Why do y'all listen to me? Anyway. You might as well have some fun along the way. Alan talks about... He was at Norville's Bible College there for years, Bible Training Center. He says one of the first things they had to do was train the ushers or the people that are in charge. When they see these new Bible students come, as soon as they start hearing about faith, first thing they want to do is stomp their glasses. Then they can't read. And Bible students don't have any money to buy new glasses. So they had them trained. I'd be watching them. Right? If you start seeing them doing it, now if you start seeing them getting ready to do it, jump in there and save the glasses. Well, that's kind of what I did. I flushed all my heart medicine down the toilet, nearly died, and I come in. I said, Dave, I don't understand. He says, boy, you ought to get this. He says, an action in the natural does not guarantee a reaction in the spiritual. In other words, God's not obligated to manifest your healing just because you're presumptuous and throw away your medicine. He says, but God's word always works. He says, if you'll walk the floor and call yourself healed and worship the Lord for your healing, thank Him that you got healed when you prayed. Continue to take your medicine and thank Him for it while you're taking it. An action in the spiritual will always produce a reaction in the natural. So, had to go buy more medicine. I took it every day. I'd spend a portion of time. Now, not long hours, but I'd spend a portion of time calling myself well. I'd speak to the problem. What's the mountain in that case? My ticker, my heart. I'd call it normal. I'd say, heart, I call you normal. You are healed. I thank you, Father. I have a new heart in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. My heart is normal and I don't have to take any medicine. And I take my medicine. And I'd quote some verses. I always add at least two or three because the Bible says by two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So I like, by His stripes you were healed. Himself bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. And I am the Lord thy God. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I will bless thy bread. I will bless thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. I confess those every day. After about 6 months, if I remember right, of doing that, taking my medicine regularly. By the way, that medicine, if I had to take it the rest of my life, I mean, you know, one of the side effects of it is it accelerates the onslaught of arthritis. In my 50s, I don't need that. Okay? I don't need that at all. So that's another reason I just wanted to get rid of it. After about 6 months, I got an instruction from the Lord. Now, this is what I mean. Also, there's praying in tongues a lot during this. Now, this is what I mean. Here comes the mind of Christ. So this is germane to the message. Just as plain as you're hearing my voice. Now, it wasn't on the outside. I know that it was internal. But clear as a bell. I mean, no... There is a higher, there is a higher leading than I felt impressed. Pray enough to where you begin to hear. I felt led. Well, I know what that means. Sometimes I act on that too. There is a leadership that's so precise. How clear is this? The mind of Christ came and He says, I want you to begin. I can't remember. I'd have to go back and read my notes. It's been a long time. I want you to start skipping. I think it was every third dose that He started me on. Every third dose of that medicine. So I worked out a regimen of that. Every third dose, I didn't take it. And I worked it. I figured it out. That went on for 6 months. But still doing the same things. Praying a lot. Confessing. Speaking to the mountain. Calling myself healed. So forth and so on. Several months go by. I don't really remember. Comes again, that same voice. I start getting the mind of Christ and instruction. Now I want you to start skipping every other dose. Long story short, over a 2-year period from the time I started all that, He weaned me off of that medicine. I took the last dose of it. He told me this is the last dose. I took the last dose of it in May of 1998. This is May 31st. 2006, and I've never had another symptom. I am healed. Now get it straight. The doctors, if I went in, I don't even know what the x-rays would say. I don't know, and I don't care. But I know what they would say. What I had, you can look it up, it's called supraventricular dicardia. How's that for a mouthful? Supraventricular dicardia. Incurable. Genetic. Once it manifests, you have it the rest of your life. What is impossible with man is possible with God. All things are possible to him that believes. Now, does that not line up with what Jesus says here? You heard that part about speaking to my heart, speaking to the mountain, right? Look at this. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, what is that? Your problem. Norval always says, he always say, God would talk, you know, in the 80s, and Norval would have these visitations with the Lord, and the Lord says, my people, I told them to talk to the problem. But all they want to do is talk to me about the problem. And I told them for them to talk to the problem. And that doesn't come natural. See, again, I wish Adam would have talked to the problem. I wish he would have told that devil to get out of his garden. He had authority. He should have opened his mouth and used it. Well, Jesus is teaching us because the kingdom has been restored. He says, you have authority again. The Holy Spirit will anoint your words. Speak to the mountain. Tell it to go. Tell it to get out of your life. Do it over and over again. The Holy Spirit will enforce your words. Whosoever shall say, and did you ever hear anybody talk to asthma? When's the last time you heard somebody having a conversation with asthma? That's what you should do, you know. Asthma, I'm talking to you. Get out of my body. Go from me, asthma. I don't have to put up with asthma. You're a mountain. Go from me. I call myself free from all asthma. Did y'all know I had hay fever and allergies so bad growing up that even the Army wouldn't take me in the height of the Vietnam War? They wouldn't take me. I was 4F because of it. It's amazing now. Don't have any allergies at all. No asthma at all. Glory to God. Tell me asthma's incurable? Diabetes? Well, what is it? What's your mountain? When are you going to start having the mind of Christ come forward? He wouldn't sit there passively with you and say, yeah, I agree with you. That's a big mountain. I don't even know if my father can do anything about that mountain. Yeah, you're right. This is bad. We ought to call somebody and tell them how bad this is. Oh, yeah, Sue says, yeah, Jesus, go. Yeah, yeah, I don't know. That's a big mountain. I don't even know if my name is above that one. Can you see how far away we are from the mind of Christ? You think he's going to sit there and have a pity party with you? I'm beginning to understand why. I go, why? How? I have come and told you about this kingdom. I've told you from my Father. I've brought these words from him. How is it that you have no faith? Let's say it a different way. Why is it you won't believe what I tell you? When are you ever going? Now, how many? Now, okay, this is a show of hands. I mean it. Embarrassing or not. How many of you have ever heard in your life a good message before this one about talk to your mountain? I'm not going to ask you the other half. How many of you have heard a message about it before? I'm looking around the room, talk to the mountain. Anyone ever heard anything about talk to the mountain? Some people are still not raising your hands, and I know good and well you heard it. Because you've been in here when I taught it. Okay, don't raise your hand. Now, I'm not going to ask you the other part, and aren't you glad about that? Because I would like to ask right now, which of you spoke to a problem, a mountain, spoke to it like that, today? Today. I don't have any mountains. Mm-hmm. What's happened is you got so accustomed to them, you're just used to living in defeat now. I call it survival mode. Well, we didn't die today. Surely we will die tomorrow. Isn't life grand? Hallelujah. I think we're a little ways away from the mind of Christ, and what's scary, we're some of the best God has. I mean that in a good way. You're foolish enough to be used. You've been transformed enough from the world to actually believe He may do something if you pray. And you don't know how rare that is. And still yet, now my husband, you know, I'm not looking at anybody now. Sure not going to look at Sue. No. She would never do this, by the way. She learned early on. I mean, when that woman had, she could have had bragging rights how messed up I was. She could have beat all of you guys. You put your problems with your husband, she could have had a taller stack. Okay, on the table. You know what came out of her mouth? My husband is a man of God. Nothing crooked or perverse ever comes out of his mouth. On and on and on. She can run off a whole litany still today. She learned before I did about this. I mean, she'd walk the floor and call me what I was not. In the good sense, you know, calling those things. Yeah, and I are now. See, she's going, and he is now. Hallelujah. Well, I'm sure more like it than I was then. Glory to God. My problem is my husband. Yep. That's my mountain. God, I want to talk to you about my mountain. In fact, I'm going to talk to all my friends about my mountain. They think they have mountains, but they ain't got no mountain compared to my mountain. I don't even know if Jesus' name is above this mountain. It's so sad. And, you know, the devil has to just sit back and go, thank. Why would he wouldn't say thank God. He would say, what would he say? He'd go, I'm really glad they don't believe. I'm really glad they don't believe. What would he say? Thank me? I don't know what he'd say. But he'd go, I'm really glad they don't believe. Because if they ever did, they're going to run me out of the garden too. Because the kingdom has been restored. But we're just on part one. Just one little lesson of Jesus, and you can already see how far away we are from the mind of Christ in our everyday life, not in here. Oh, I know you do fine in here. You wouldn't dare talk that unbelief to me. You know, be on you like a duck on a June bug. Say, how long you been here? You talking like that? God, depends on who you are. Really, it depends on how healed your vessel is, how straight I can talk with you. Some people, they're so fragile. And it's okay. I have to be able to discern that as a minister. See? Sometimes if you hold a really delicate, fine china vessel, sometimes you just got to really hold it gently. It's all you can do. But see, the idea is you get healed. Get a little tougher. Get a little rhino hide. Then I and the Lord can talk to you. You notice Jesus wasn't just all, he didn't go around patting their unbelief all the time. He treated them old boys pretty straight. How is it that you have no faith? God, I don't ever want to hear that, Mark. I don't ever want to hear that. But I'm afraid I will. If I don't continue. Because I'm telling you what, you can start sliding back into the world's way of thinking at any time. You're so surrounded by it daily. The world is so daily. Have you noticed that? That's why Jesus said in Mark 4, he says, the key to everything is the word. It's the message that I've brought. But he says, the cares of this world, persecution, let's just say it a little different. Trouble, problems, unbelieving friends and relatives, lusts of riches, or the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things. Get your mind on the world, you know, you start seeing, you know, start slipping. We call it backsliding. Sliding back into the world. Maybe not into the bars, but sliding back into their way of thinking. Longer cars and VCRs. That's what the world is about. Promotion on my job. That's the most important thing. Now, he's not against promotions on your job. As long as your first priority is his job. Seek ye first the kingdom. What's your job in his kingdom? if a promotion on your natural job is a part of that, boy, his hand will be on it. But I don't want to digress too far from this. We're not even out of Mark 11:23 yet. Whosoever shall say unto this, say, everyone say out loud, say!
Say.
I've got to say. If I'm going to have faith in God, the way Jesus taught it,
I'll be saying.
I'll be speaking.
To the mountain.
And it will obey me.
It will obey.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, the world just says, call it, just tell it like it is. Jesus doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says, call those things which be not as though they were. God even changed Abram's name to help him. Abraham. I am the father of a multitude. That's what that name means. But he didn't have a single child. I am the father of a multitude. The world calls that lying. God calls it truth because you're saying what He says. When you say in what God says, you cannot be lying. By His stripes, I was healed. And everybody looking at you, maybe at that moment you're in a wheelchair or something, some kind of deal, you know, who knows, or a neck brace. Doesn't matter, but you're going, by His stripes, I was healed. Now, her, but her unbelieving friends go, Loopy's strange. No, you're the one that's strange. Loopy has the mind of Christ. She's agreeing with Him. See? She'll talk to her neck. I call my neck normal in Jesus' name. I'll be perfect like it never happened. And devil, this will just be one more testimony I have to tell about the goodness of the Lord Jesus, my healer. Amen. That's the way you do it. And you count it all joy. Anyway, let's finish this one anyway. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his what? You can, I'm telling you from 30 years, how many years experience? We got saved in 1980, 26 years experience. I'm telling you right now, it will work with your head full of doubts. I'm telling you right now, whatever you set your heart on, whatever God said to you and you pursue it, I mean, your heart can be in faith and your mind, I mean, doubts and thoughts can be going through there as fast as machine gun bullets. But as long as you don't doubt in your heart and as long as you don't change what you say, you'll have what you say. You'll have it too. How do you know you'll have it? Because Jesus can't lie. And look how he finishes this up. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. That person, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now say this after me. We're in training. You want the mind of Christ? Say it like this. I believe in my heart. Everything I say comes to pass. I'm very careful about what I say. Because what I say comes to pass. I doubt not in my heart. What I say comes to pass. What I say comes to pass. What I say comes to pass. When that revelation really starts dawning on you, what you say is going to change. It's going to change real quick. Because most of us, the devil's winning because we turn our own sword against ourselves. And the sword I'm talking about is 1 inch below your nose. He gets us to turn our own sword, the weapon, the only offensive weapon we've got. All that armor of God All that armor of God is defensive. We've only got one weapon that we can go on the offense with, and that is the spoken word of God. It's Rhema, the spoken word of God. And what does the devil get us to do? Because we so have the mind of Christ. I've got it so bad. It's getting worse. I heard on the news there's a recession coming. I'll probably be the first one to be laid off. Lord, I rebuke all this. I cast all these words to the ground. I'm doing it for demonstration's sake only, Lord. It's good for you. Can you tell I'm doing a lot better with my back? Can you tell I'm doing real good? I'm getting better all the time. I'll be better the next time you see me too. Okay? But if Sue hadn't corrected my words, because even though I teach this, you can know it to the core, but if you don't do it, it doesn't become effectual. And what had happened, it had just snuck up on me. It was so slow, this one. It started way back about the year 2000, 2001. I remember the first time I ever noticed the first little twinge in my right hip, a little pain. And I know where we were. We was up in White Plains, New York. And I was, first time I ever felt that little twinge in my right hip. I didn't think much about it. But slowly, 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 and when I say slowly, I mean over a period of years, it got a little worse, Then I started noticing it in both hips. Then I started noticing it in my lower back. And then y'all saw it accelerate here about a year and a half ago. It got to the point I couldn't hardly walk. I couldn't stand to do a service. I did a couple of services in a chair doing calling in the lost from a chair. Isn't that great? Preaching faith from a chair. It's better than not preaching at all. I'm not easily made to quit. I'd be laying on the floor preaching it if I had to. You don't get me to quit very easy. But I didn't recognize what I was doing. And over those years, because it was so slow, usually I'm pretty good at recognizing an attack and fighting back. I just never even recognized. Just natural thinking. Well, I'm getting older. I'm headed towards 60. I took that heart medicine for years. They told me it was going to, they told me it was going to accelerate arthritis. I guess it did. On and on and on, and I just say stuff all the time. Just, man, my back is killing me. And I'd say something like, boy, if this doesn't change, I'm going to have a hip replacement. And just on and on and on. And it's getting worse. And then it started getting worse real fast. I couldn't hardly do anything. And thank God for a wife that in love, and she just very, very straight, not condescending, not trying to rule me, trying to help me. And just, but very firm, said to me one day, I had just said something really brilliant, like my back is killing me, something brilliant like that. And she didn't do it in front of anybody else. Okay. We were home alone. And she said, if you don't change what you're saying, the devil is going to put you in a wheelchair and steal all the rest of your ministry. I needed a wife that did not pet my unbelief. I needed someone to love me enough to tell me the truth. And I'll be honest with you, when she said that to me, it had never, up till that moment, even though I teach these, y'all do know I knew these things before that day. I've taught these things. I've won other battles. But in that case, it was like she said it just as straight, but in love as she could. But to me, it was like getting a wet towel right across the face. Slap, slap. And my eyes, I knew she was right. And I thought, my God, what have I been doing? And one thing about it, I'm pretty good to repent, aren't I? Man, from that day forward, I asked the Lord right then. I said, Lord, there's in the psalm somewhere, I think it says, set a watch upon my lips that I might not sin against thee. I remembered that. I said, Lord, I don't even realize I've been doing this. Set a watch on my lips. Boy, he did. Because from that time forward, every time I'd begin to just, I'd get that pain would shoot through there again, man. And I'd start to say like I'd been saying. But it was like he would give me just a second to think about it before I said it. And I go, oh, then I wouldn't say it. And I was stunned. I was startled. I was amazed. I mean, here the faith teacher who teaches this. I was amazed how much that was coming out of my mouth. So here we go. Have what I say. I've been using my own sword against me now for several years, and now I had to turn the tide. You know, James, we'll kind of finish this up with this. This is part of the mind of Christ, you guys. Turn to James. I want to show you this. Right after Hebrews. Now, he's really teaching about false doctrine here in a big way. He's talking about how you got to be not many masters. You got to be really called and trained by the Holy Ghost to be a teacher. And he's saying, you know, the tongue is a little member. But if you start teaching wrong stuff, pretty soon you can have people singing choirs out in Utah in the desert. You know what I'm saying? You know, you can have them down in Guyana drinking funny Kool-Aid. That's really what he's talking about, is turning the whole body of Christ. But that same principle applies to your own life. Now, for example, here he says, verse 3, "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." And look at verse 4. "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great..." So he's not talking about a little canoe here. He's talking about a big ship. "Though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm whithersoever the governor listeth," wherever the governor wants it to go. "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set forth of hell." He goes on and on here, but look at verse 8. "The tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." On and on and on. Dave taught a series called Fountain, Out of the Fountain. Both shouldn't come, poison and sweet water. Remember the sweet water well and all of that? Now, what's he talking about? Why is he using this analogy of the big ship? Well, a big giant ship. Picture in your mind, how many of you have seen Poseidon this time around? How many of you have seen the old Poseidon? It's a big ship. Giant, huge, monstrous thing. Yet that thing is turned in proportion to the size of the ship. The rudder on the back is tiny. I mean, compared to the size of the ship. And even though a storm is going on, you can set that rudder and turn the whole ship in a different direction. He said, that's what you do with the tongue. Now take it with my back. Picture this again. Let's say I'm standing here for benefit of the tape right in the center, down below the pulpit. Let's say to my right, going this way, things are getting worse. If I walk towards my right, things are getting worse. If I walk back to the left, things are getting better. All right, now for years I've been using my rudder, my mouth, to make things worse. I've been just agreeing with the symptoms. I've been agreeing with the mountain. I've been saying what is. So by this time, I mean, y'all saw me. I could hardly walk. I could barely walk up those three steps, and I'm bent over like this. It was terrible. All right, so the day comes. Sue says, "You better change what you're saying." All right, so I did. Now, the trouble is, my life, your life, is like a big ship. It's got momentum. I'm going worse. I've been going worse for a long time. My ship is in motion. And even though I changed the rudder on this day, right here, if y'all could see me on the tape, I'm going to the right because it's still getting worse. You don't turn the Queen Mary on a dime. Now, you turn that rudder and it's still going. At first, you can't even tell any difference. And so this is why people quit. They start calling those things that be not as though they were. They start confessing the Word of God and speaking the right thing. And it gets worse for a while. Honey, you got momentum going. It's a big ship. That's why you don't even turn a horse on a dime, not most of them, but much less a big ship. But see, if you could see it in the natural from above, it is turning. Now, it's a big old ship. And I'm still confessing and calling those things that be not as though they were. And I'm doing all the natural things too. Anything that the Lord would have us do. But little by little by little. But from where I started, look how far downstream I am. Look how far towards the worse I am by the time this ship starts turning around. But finally it does. Trouble is, from the time that it starts getting better, in the natural, it's worse. Can you tell that? Because I'm further down than I was. Right here is where most people quit. Right about the time when it's beginning to work, the enemy comes with more devils, brings discouragement. This ain't working. The same thing with praying in tongues or anything else you do. They've got to stop you there. They can see what's going on. And they've got to stop you. I mean, right there is where you go wake up one day and yesterday you was excited and fine. And today, discouragement. You're even thinking about suicide. And you don't even know why. Well, you probably got 1,000 devils dispatched to stop you. And they come with emotion. Have y'all noticed that? But you got to keep on doing it. I'm telling you, there was days. Sue can tell you I'm not exaggerating. There was days it was so bad I couldn't walk. Our house is not that big. It's not that big a walk from the couch to the bathroom. I couldn't walk that far. So here I am crawling on all fours, going to the bathroom. And she can tell you out of my mouth going, by His stripes, I was healed. Himself bore my sickness and carried my pain. And I'm crawling on all fours because I've been through this kind of thing before. So sure enough, you find it, you change that rudder, and the key is keep the rudder in the direction that you want the ship to go. Doesn't matter if it looks worse. So what? Keep that rudder turned the way you want it to go. And boy, eventually you start coming back. You'll start winning. Y'all have watched me get a little better. I'm going to be better next time you see me too. Now I'm way past better from when I started. Watch this. Go up and down. See, I can go up and down. See, up and down the steps, you know. Now, I never could really run, but I could go up and down the steps anyway. See? Are you kidding me? I couldn't do that. You wait till the next time. I'm going to keep on keeping on. The mind of Christ is, the kingdom has been restored to man. How you exercise authority in that kingdom is by speaking. Now, I think the church is guilty of the same sin as Adam. The enemy comes in our garden like a mountain, and we don't do anything. We don't take any authority. We just act like we're not kings over that realm. Like we've not been assigned to keep the garden, will you allow me? And we just let the enemy win by default. Because we're still too naturally minded. And we just do things the way the world does. Not so in this church. Not so if you're hearing this message because you're part of this vision. Let's have the mind of Christ, people. Let's begin speaking to the mountains. Taking authority. Begin conquering the land. Yes, sir. Got about 3 minutes. Now here's what here's what's happened in the past. When these principles were taught, they were taught pretty accurately, I think. But what happened, because the audience, the people that heard these messages, were still in such a babyhood stage maturity-wise, then they took all of these principles to begin building their own kingdom. I can have a better house, and I can have a better car, and I can... And God's not... See, it starts maybe getting healed. Well, that's a good thing. God wants you healed. He wants you to have enough money to feed your babies. He wants you to, you know. But see, what this faith is really for, the pattern is Jesus. What did He use His faith for? To accomplish His Father's will. So what God's trying to do is, let's not throw out those principles. This is the principles of the kingdom. This is how it works. But let's, hopefully we've matured beyond me and my four and no more. Hopefully now, we're at the place of Father. Jesus, to me, is so many things. But one thing He is the serving Son. He is the absolute jewel of his father's eye. He is the son of all inheritance. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and everything really is his by inheritance. Yet there's, you see, no pride at all. He says, I must be about my father's business. And his whole life, using all of that authority, using all of that inheritance, using everything that God's given him, Father, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on the earth. I pray to God, he is raising up a generation. Sons of the living God, women, you're just as much a son as any male in here. Male and female created he them. Raising up a generation of sons who know who we are, full of inheritance, understanding our authority as kings, yet at the same time fully bowed the knee before the Father. Fully our lives belong to Him, and bring a revival to a lost world. Did you get anything out of that? Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We have the mind of Christ. Now, the world is going to always say, you're crazy. Trust me, if they find you having a conversation with the flu, or having a conversation with your wallet, having a conversation with your debts, they're going to think you're weird. When that happens, jump and shout for joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I must not be totally conformed to the world anymore. Hallelujah. Glory to God.